That's right. Two in a row. Two in a row. It's the news according to me. Good Tuesday morning. This is the day two of the news according to me marathon. I have a show 2 days in a row. It's a marathon. I know it's a marathon. Kind of like me when I run a marathon, it is if I go 2 minutes, the first minute, it's just me trying to go get the mail. That's the second minute it becomes a marathon. It is Tuesday, May 9th, 7:22 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I am your host, the guy with the cup. I have a cup here. The cup is full of chai, vanilla chai with vanilla creamer. It's pretty much a vanilla day for me. I'm a vanilla guy. I have a backup cup again. So again, because I still have some homemade sweet tea here that I have to drink. I'm assuming when I get to Little Rock, of course, I'm going to be beat probably by the time I get to Little Rock. Tomorrow night, I'll be in Little Rock. No, tomorrow night. Thursday night, I'll be in Little Rock. Sorry. Yeah. Thursday night, I will be in Little Rock Thursday night. And I'm assuming they will have some tea. However, I don't know how tired I'm going to be because I have to start the day at about 4:30 in the morning. Something like that. And I will not get done until about 6 o'clock at night. 6:30, probably. With very little time to do anything else in between. So I don't know. I might end up getting lunch. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see if that happens. So I will work on that. I'll let you know how that goes. Now, needless to say, I don't think there's not going to be a show on Thursday, I don't think, unless I do one Wednesday night to post for Thursday. That's a possibility. Then, of course, Friday morning, it looks like I've got an early departure as well. I have to, not going to be a show Friday morning. Again, it might just be a Thursday evening show. I doubt it, though, because I'm going to be wiped out. Thursday is going to be a big day, so just keep that in mind. Thursday and Monday, this coming up. Two very big days. So, having said all that, we'll get right into this. Today's show. Now, yesterday we talked a little bit about the Trump issue and, of course, the FBI Hunter Biden laptop thing. And the 51 people who signed off on this letter, who, in my opinion, should all be held accountable for that. They absolutely should. Well, they're former. They're not current. We can't do anything because they're current employees. Now, think about this. The people who walked into the Capitol on January 6th because the doors were open, I'm not talking about the people who theoretically opened the doors, which, again, how did those doors get opened? There were some, if you've listened to at all to this Proud Boys trial, this thing with some of the insurrectionists, there is some pretty damning information here. Some things that have not been looked into. There's one individual who was present every time there was a break-in in the Capitol. At every point of a... In fact, he was next to Bobbitt, Miss Bobbitt, when she was killed. This is just... It's bizarre. And this guy is not even up on trial. He's not been arrested. I don't know if he's even been questioned by the J6 Commission. I'm not talking about, what's the guy's name that everybody's all screaming about? The guy that was out in the street the night before screaming, "We've got to go into the Capitol." And then he was there when people were going into the Capitol. He never went into the Capitol. He was just encouraging others to do so. Never called up on any charges whatsoever. None. Zero. His testimony before the J6 Commission was edited, highly edited, redacted, and not made public. But he's not a Fed. No, he's not an operative. He's just some poor schmuck. This is what we hear from Raskin, from the congressional floor. He's just some poor schmuck who just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. And, everybody's picking on him. Just leave the guy alone. Hello? About 90% of the people who are under charge, and my understanding is there are more charges pending. They basically would like to get everybody who was at the Capitol that day, no matter where you were. Could have just been at a hot dog stand someplace out there. They're after everybody. They're trying to identify everyone. It is really bizarre stuff going on here. It's not bizarre stuff. It's bizarre that they're able to get away with what they're doing so blatantly in plain sight. Now, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a physician. I'm not a financial counselor. I'm not an epidemiologist. I'm not a virologist. However, when I listen to other defense attorneys talk about this case, what's going on here? This is bizarre. Robert Gavea apparently was on, except in the notice, he was on Megyn Kelly's show the other night. I think it was yesterday or the day before, and was being interviewed by her. Kind of an interesting interview. I didn't get to listen to much of it, but I know right where he's going. I listened directly to his show, which unfortunately tends to go about 2 hours. I have to listen to it in 1.25, sometimes 1.5. And the first part of his show is basically the last part of his show is all just interaction with the people who are making comments on the show. The first part of the show is actually more information. It goes through a little mind map thing and does a bunch of stuff. It's pretty interesting. Very, very clear. Well, it makes it very clear about what's going on with this whole trial. I'm amazed sometimes that these people's defense attorneys are so inept. But I digress. So we have that's going on. And I started today's show. I just got down here, pushed the button, and just started talking. It's probably going to be a little bit scattered. Gee, that's unusual. It's just going to be me off the top of my head, no notes. There are some things happening. In fact, I'm going to just real quick. I want to take a look at the subscriptions. I usually go to my subscription page just to see what's kind of on the top of the list here. What's happening? If there's anything, any big things. Of course, now they have all these shorts are always a big deal now. Shorts, they're the little, yeah. It's just a lot of that stuff. But if we have quite a few, there's been some shootings, there's been some stuff. There's a guy, Imran Khan, arrested by baton-wielding security forces. I guess, is it India? Someplace in India, I guess this one leader has been, he's been there. So we have, where else? What else? Okay. Now there's nothing big pressing going on here, it looks like. Yeah, nothing. The world's not falling apart at this moment, at least not that they've posted on YouTube yet. Usually when something's really going wrong, though, if there's any big news. Yesterday, I don't know if I mentioned this or not. I believe it was yesterday during the day. Joe Biden came out on a live broadcast, had Pete Buttigieg next to him, making this great statement about air travel. And I just about flipped. When the airlines do something, when it's their fault, we're going to make them pay for your overnight. Most airlines already do this. There's something weird about this bill. Now, you see, one of the problems is with the, when one of the little things he happened to throw in there is when it's their fault. Yeah, well, when it's their fault, they typically do. Maybe they're not required to. Most airlines, if they, because of a mechanical issue, if you get stuck somewhere, most airlines will put you up overnight. There's this thing called the Passenger Bill of Rights. If the airlines are following it, or if you ask for it, they are required to give you. Like, let's say you travel from, let's say I'm traveling from South Bend to Chicago to pick up a connection to go to LA. And I get to Chicago, and the airplane's broke. And there's no other flights to LA that night tonight, so they're going to get me out tomorrow morning. They will normally put you in a hotel. They'll give you a hotel voucher. Or they'll, tell you where you can go. Now, this stupid bill, I don't know what they're trying to get away with in terms of what they're changing about this stuff. I suppose there are some airlines out there that will not pay for that. Oh, you're on your own. Sorry. It says right there on your ticket you're signing this thing. We're not guaranteeing you the flight. We'll guarantee the destination, but we're not going to guarantee that you're going to get there on time. So sometimes, and if it's weather related, now they can't do anything about that. They can't control the weather. It's not the airline's fault. Well, believe it or not, a storm in Texas can affect your flight out of Chicago. And it can be weather related. In other words, the flight can't leave Dallas because they have a ground stop in Dallas. Your flight was supposed to leave from Chicago at 8 p.m. That flight cancels because the crew time's out. So now that crew and that plane that was supposed to take you to L.A. is now in Dallas, and the crew is, from Chicago shows up to fly the plane to L.A., and there's no plane to fly. Well, it's a weather delay. That's a weather problem. It wasn't the airline's problem. It was the weather. Even though there's a crew and everything but the plane is not there. They don't have a plane because they can't have a spare airplane for everything. You don't understand. They can't have a spare airplane for every flight. You know how many flights they fly out of Chicago every day? They can't have planes sitting around waiting as a spare. They got to keep the planes rolling. What aggravates me most about this stuff is that the government does this kind of thing. They increase more and more regulation. And there's probably other things within this bill that are hidden that they're not talking about. They're going to force the airlines to do something or put something in place. They're going to hire more people. They're going to do more things and pay more money. What is that going to do? Is that going to make the airline pay for those things? No, they're going to pass that off in the price of a ticket. They have to raise their rates. And it further regulates an industry, basically government control of that industry. Ever increasing, encroaching regulations on industry are not always for the good of the nation. It is for the good of the government. Being able to control more and more of the sector. And here's the dirty little secret about this stuff. The more control they have over a sector of an industry, the more lobbyists will pander to them, give them something. These politicians will have meetings with these people. Well, can we do this? Asking permission. They're subservient now to the government, to these officials. So they make deals with these officials. This is where the control becomes corrupt, because they can use it as a lever, much like a mafia type thing. It is exactly that. That's exactly where the corruption creeps in. if these politicians in their government position had no control over these businesses, the businesses would be in control. I'm not saying this is always good. There needs to be some regulation to protect consumers. But this regulation way oversteps protection of consumers and goes further in much deeper into control of an industry. And that's what's happening here. It becomes crony capitalism. It's not real capitalism. It's not free market capitalism. It is government controlled and allowable capitalism. They can make or break anybody that they want to. They can decide who wins and who loses. And that's when it becomes corrupt. It's just an ongoing. Now here's what's interesting about this is that Elon Musk has been able to somehow kind of rise above this stuff, which I'm Elon is not necessarily, I don't know what kind of guy he is. I don't know much about him. Other than he seems to have a pretty realistic view of things. He's pretty, is it pragmatic? I think kids could say, what the kids would say is he's based. In other words, he's grounded in reality. He's not playing some kind of weird game. He's not out there in the social weirdness that goes on. He has a mission. He has a purpose. He has stuff he's doing. He's trying to accomplish something. He's a productive guy. And he must have an incredible team working with him. So we don't hear much about that much of the time. You know, they're probably just too busy working to really get involved in what's going on. And so the interesting thing here is that, you know, he's I don't know if any of you heard this rumor or not. Apparently, Tucker Carlson, either Tucker or his lawyers have been in touch with Elon Musk, and they are possibly fixing to do something with a network. Now, I don't know what, either a new network or they're going to buy something. I'm not sure exactly what they're going to do. But you want to talk about having enough money to do something and enough influence to do something. This could be a huge deal. Now, I'm not sure. The country is so polarized right now. I'm not sure exactly how well it would go over. I do know that Fox News really cut their nose off in spite of their face. They kept everybody, all the pundits kept saying, oh, this is not a big deal. You know, they'll recover because, you know, they get rid of Tucker because of, you know, all these issues. Well, it wasn't because his fans didn't like him. Now, I've said this before. I'll say it again. Bill O'Reilly left under some pretty shameful terms. In other words, he had committed some things that people didn't like. And at the time he was booted from Fox News, it was a different time. First of all, there was kind of this moral standard that people in the Republican Party, even the establishment, if you were outside of that box, if you did something outside of that box, you have to step down. The Democrats weren't that way at all. They would circle the wagons and protect you, Bill Clinton, if you had improprieties in your life. There were very few people that supported the impeachment of Bill Clinton after they found out that he had taken advantage of an intern, a young girl, in the Oval Office. But Trump's the monster. Trump is the monster. He's the pig. Because he said something in a locker room about celebrities and the way they can just get away with anything. He's the monster. Bill Clinton, while he was having an affair with someone else, is molesting a young intern in the Oval Office. But he's okay. He's not disrespecting the presidency. He was a respectable guy. He got a standing ovation on Oprah. You think Trump would ever get a standing ovation on Oprah? Well, not Oprah doesn't ever show anymore. But the left is relentless and merciless if you go against the plan. But they will circle the wagons for you as long as you play, as long as you go along to play along. So, you know, and a lot of it has to do with their foundational platform. One of the main things on their foundational platform is abortion. Killing babies is one of their main ones. Second one is, of course, the special rights issues. Just things that fly in the face of constitutional public stuff. Individualism, individual rights. But I digress. We have this stuff going on. So Tucker Carlson is apparently having some talks, apparently. Having some talks with Elon Musk, and I don't know what those are going to involve. Now, the theory is that Tucker has 20 months, I think, left on his 24 months, whatever it is, almost 2 years left on his contract with Fox, which I guess is a $20 million contract. I believe it's $5 million a year, something. I don't know how many millions it is a year. And apparently, they're willing to pay Tucker the rest of his contract if he just keeps silent. It's a non-compete. He can't do anything else with anybody else because he's under contract with them. So he can't be on anybody else's show. He can still tweet. He can still do, you know, personally, he has his personal stuff he can do. My understanding is he probably would just buy out his contract somehow and get out of it and start something up. Now, Fox News, I think, realizes that they would be letting the genie out of the bottle here because Tucker still has a fan base that is just as strong, if not more strong, than ever. And that's not, they don't know what to do with this, because when Bill O'Reilly left, he had his tail between his legs and he said, walked out the door. A lot of his fan base was sad about him leaving Fox, but they didn't see Fox as the problem. It wasn't Fox News' fault that Bill O'Reilly did the things he did. I don't know whether I really wonder whether those allegations were true or not. They probably were. But if they weren't, then he got railroaded out. But who knows? I don't know. I wasn't there. Now, the difference is Tucker is being shoved out the door because he's speaking the truth, or at least bringing up true things. Whether his opinion about those things are correct or not, that's his opinion. I'm wondering about. I heard a rumor this last week that Sean Hannity is going to be next. I can't imagine. Sean Hannity is an establishment guy. He's very, very good at playing the game. Now, Steve Hilton, on the other hand, is probably, I would think Steve Hilton would be the next one on the block. He's come out against Republicans and Democrats. He pushes back pretty hard. He is by no means a Tucker Carlson, but he definitely speaks his mind. So I don't know. I don't know how this is going to. I don't know how it's going to end up. I do know that we have that there are some serious, interesting things going on behind the scenes with this whole mess. Now, change gears here a little bit. Let me take a sip. Time for a sip break. Here we go. Hunter Biden. What's going on with this whole thing? It's interesting right now to me that the laptop itself is still, it's a point of contention. A lot of, there's the news media, the legacy news media is just not talking about it at all. And there's, they know that if they hold off on this stuff long enough, it just blows over, it just goes away. And here's Exhibit A for as an example. Sorry, oh my goodness, I just had a cough there. Exhibit A. Whatever happened with Joe Biden's classified documents? Whatever happened to that? All of a sudden, that goes away. I'm not talking about it. How those classified documents get moved around from point A to point B? Oh, and then all of a sudden, hey, me too, me too. Mike Pence. I've got some too. But see, I'm going to handle it in a presidential way. I'm going to make sure that they're returned. I'm going to make all the right phone calls and we're going to get this straightened out. Because I'm more presidential. See how presidential I am? Much more presidential than Donald Trump. I'm not fighting it. Now, I believe that Donald Trump still has documents somewhere that are going to bring down the FBI and a lot of those people who were, the corrupt underbelly of that organization and some of the other intelligence organizations. There have been several coup attempts from the left on Donald Trump. First of all, in 2016. The whole Russia collusion story was fabricated in cooperation with the FBI. If you understand what all happened there, the FBI leaked the Russian collusion story, this dossier whole thing. They leaked that to the press through a side channel. Then they used the press release as backup because they can't get a FISA warrant with just one source. You have to have two. So they released it to the press and they called the press release their second source. Same information. Came through a leak of their own. Now we can get a FISA warrant to spy on everybody around the president who has his phone number, who talks to him on a daily basis, and so they can go too deep. T-O-T-W-O. That just gives them, and not wittingly, Senator James Clapper. Now, Brennan, who is also one of the people who signed off on this letter, you have to keep in mind, Brennan is a self-avowed communist. He has never recanted or denounced communism. He's the head of our CIA. This is weird, strange, and bizarre stuff. Now, we could go on and on with this stuff all day long. I probably would, but I'm not going to. There is a Title 42 is I believe it's this Wednesday or Thursday, tomorrow or Wednesday or Thursday. It's Title 42, which was Title 42, so for those of you who don't know, was a border control issue during the COVID era. They say COVID era Title 42. Of course, now COVID's over, so we can get rid of this Title 42. what's going to happen here is they're going to have an open board. They want an open board. And now you hear them all of a sudden, the only thing that Democrats will do, this happens in almost every interview I hear. Every time there's an interview of a Democrat, and they will say, well, yeah, the border's broken. That's why we need immigration reform. When you hear them talk about immigration reform, see, now this is the problem with this is, if you remember from 2016 to 2020, the border was not overrun. There were attempts. It was far more under control than it is now. Now, Mayorkas would say, oh, no, the border is secure. All they do is change the definition of what secure is. They change the definition of who's coming across the border illegally. They can grant asylum to everybody who comes in and say, well, those people are legally coming in because we're giving them asylum. We have, you know, a couple million people came in under asylum rules. That's not a problem. Well, because they came in legally. They have an asylum case that's, you know, in 2 years from now, they'll have an asylum case. Well, that's plenty. And now, here's the other little dirty secret that just got reported. I can't believe this was even reported the other day. 2 days ago, they said over 70% of the people coming across the border right now are young, 20-something men, not children, not women. 70% are men of military age. They're not talking about that too much, are they? Now, there's some people waking up and looking at the pictures of these people, which is you know, something you have to be aware of. When you see these folks showing up at the border who supposedly walked for hundreds of miles, if not thousands, to get to the border in their sandals, their clothes are clean, they're wearing t-shirts and hats that look like they've just bought them at the local posh shop or at Kohl's. It looks like they've been shopping at some mall somewhere. They got the flat, you know, brim hats on. They look fine. They don't look dirty. These people did not walk hundreds of miles. They've been bused there somehow. They've been getting transportation there. It doesn't make sense. And they're not starving, obviously, some of these people. Because they're not exactly skinny, some of them, most of them, a lot of them. They're eating somewhere. So maybe, you know, yeah. We have also, just while I'm on the subject of Biden here and what's going on with the administration. But you hear these people, they'll just constantly, you confront them about what's going on at the border, and they'll say, well, we need immigration reform. Yeah, well, when they do admit that it's broken, all they're saying is, yeah, the border's broken and we need immigration reform. Comprehensive immigration reform. When they say those words, what they're meaning is open borders. Let everybody in. And they don't see a problem with this. I think it was Kennedy, Senator Kennedy. The old guy from the Deep South down there. Guy that always has a funny quip remark. It's usually pretty good. He made the statement, you know, these people who are calling for open borders, they have locks on their doors in their homes. They don't put a lock on your door because you hate the people on the outside. Because most of the people on the outside, yeah, you like them. But you don't know who's going to come through the door. You want to know who's coming through the door because you love the people on the inside of the home. That's why you put a lock on there. You care about the people on the inside, so you're locking the door because 99% of the people who will come through your door are people who will first knock and ask to come in the house. And most of them will be fine. But it's that one. It only takes one to destroy your household, your home. One uninvited guest to come in there and wreak havoc in your family. Only takes one. So just letting people roam in and out of your house is not the best idea in the world. Because you need to know who they are, where they came from, what they're coming in with and what they're leaving with. That's not what we're doing with the border right now. That would be the basic definition of a controlled border. So this is the kind of stuff that has to be addressed by this Congress. And this is, everybody's talking about, well, we need to impeach Mayorkas. We need to impeach Buttigieg. We need to impeach, who was it the other day? Oh, Merrick Garland needs to be impeached. I've been hearing that lately. We're going to impeach Merrick Garland because of, because he's got a double standard going on. No. Who do these people work for? This is like showing up at a hotel and the hotel staff at the desk tells you, well, this is our policy. This is what we have to do. And you just start yelling at the person at the desk. They're doing their job. They're telling you what the policy is. And you start yelling at them. They don't have the power to change the policy. This is the most ridiculous. I've seen people do this so often. And I sit there going, what exactly are you trying to accomplish here? By acting like the big shot. All you're doing is showing that you have no understanding of how business works. You think you're a big shot and you're such a highfalutin person and you're so important. Most people who are important because they are in a position of importance because they got there for a reason. And they understand that the people that they really need to talk to are the people at the top who are making these decisions. Now, there are cases where the person behind the desk is able to change things. They do give them the power to make decisions occasionally on certain items, certain things. And sometimes those people just will not treat you well. And in that case, they need to be confronted. However, politely confront them, maybe make a statement about it, and then move up the ladder right away. If you're not getting any relief on what you're looking for. Then move up the ladder. Don't waste your time and your breath and everybody's time arguing with this person who obviously isn't going to make the difference. Just saying. What else was I talking about? I was going to talk about one other thing. There is something was, I can't remember. Let's see here. I saw something else here. Let's see. All goes public in less than 36 hours. Huge. All the details go public on Wednesday morning. Buckle down. Nothing but the news. Okay. The it's going to be interesting. Black Conservative Patriot, BCP, his daughter has a show called Nothing But the News with Juniorette. And they kind of work hand in hand with, she does just reporting, just the news, just what's going on. And of course, then BCP has his own show called BCP News or whatever it is. And he does more commentary. She does the news and he does commentary. It's two different things, but she does a pretty good job. She's got some kind of, this is headline here is huge. All the details go public on Wednesday morning. Buckle. Oh, there's the rest of that. Buckle. Buckle up. That's what it says. Here's an interesting article. This is the AP News. Lauren Daigle wants her music to provide hope in difficult times. Now, I don't know if those of you who don't know who Lauren Daigle is, she's a cross. She actually has crossover music now. She's had some pretty powerful songs. Now, having said that, I have seen her in concert, and that is what it is. It's a concert. There are people who I'm not saying you can't worship during her songs, or that there aren't any worship songs. Her songs are more of a very deep, personal, probably spiritual level. Story, testimony type songs. And that's okay. Most of her songs will not be sung by a congregation in church. And it's not congregational singing. It's meaningful songs, very well done. I don't necessarily like her voice too much. There's this thing now going around, and I see it in a lot of worship leaders, some worship music, where I don't even know how to describe it. I can't even hardly imitate it to give you an example. But it's this kind of a wispy kind of I don't know how to explain it. It's supposed to be artsy fartsy cutesy pootsy, I guess. I don't know. It's this weird vocal tone. And it almost has a 3-year-old kind of sound to it, like a 3-year-old singing, kind of like a little child singing. It's your grown adults. And I hear there's a lot of, I think that a few people have a natural, that's their natural tone, that's the way they sing, and now other people are trying to imitate them because they think it sounds good, that they want to try to be like that. Now, Lauren Daigle has a specific kind of sound in the way she pronounces some of her words. I'm sorry. I'm not saying it's that it's wrong. I'm just saying I don't like it. If you don't like the taste of raspberries, that's your business. So some people like raspberries, some people don't. Doesn't make raspberries wrong. I'm just saying there's something about her voice I don't like. And I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying it's not my thing. Does that make sense to those of you out there how dare you be critical? I'm being critical on my own. That's not my palate. So there you go. And that's okay. I can have an opinion. You don't like my opinion, that's your business. I'm not going to tell you have to like my opinion. Right? Okay then. There you go. How dare you not like my opinion about not liking you? Well, there you go. Anyway, so all kinds of things happening. By the way, so this is Lauren Daigle. Now she's had some crossover songs. Like she's actually had some songs that have, like parts of her songs have actually made it onto television shows. That's their trailer music. That's their bumper music, whatever. Which is interesting. And then they got, I Will Rescue You or something like that. And there's a couple others, but she does have. I'll occasionally hear her songs on I'll be walking through a store somewhere, and I'll hear her music in the background. And it is not they're not playing Christian music; they're just playing music, her song is there. And you know, good for her if she's able to do that. That's great. Now, she's not a worship leader. Let me just put it that way. Somebody like Chris Tomlin or Matt Redman, they're worship leaders. They do some songs that are story songs occasionally, or some testimonial songs. I've heard there's this thing. There's a I think it's Elevation Worship. I'm not sure who it is. This thing called Gyra. It's a song called Gyra, but there's also an album. I think it's the name of the album. Let me just type it in here. Elevation Worship, Tyra, You Are Enough. By the way, Carrie Job has one right now called I Think You Are Enough, or whatever, I think that might be it. Is Jireh worship? Is the song Jireh worship? If you listen to the words, read the words and listen to the music, it is a testimonial song. Now, there's nothing wrong with singing testimony. There's a difference, though, and that can be worship. There's nothing wrong with it. I mean, you can worship. We call our worship service. Worship isn't just singing a song. Worship is the entire act of everything we do when we gather together, or everything you do when you walk out the door in obedience. That's an act of worship as well. But we're not going to get totally into this. When we gather together to worship, there are one of the things that I've pointed out for a long time. I don't know why I'm going down this rabbit hole here, but one of the things I've pointed out for a long time is that most, you know, everybody's there's this old traditional thing called hymns, and a lot of the old traditional churches, or traditional churches that are out there now, not necessarily old churches, but the churches that are out there now who believe in more traditional service, they sing hymns. Nothing at all wrong with that. I grew up singing hymns. However, look at, I'm going to say 90% of the hymns that are in that hymnal, the hymns that you sing, are, they're so deep and rich with theology. Yes, they are. There's no kidding. Some of them are wrong, but they have very deep theology in some of them. Because they are songs about God. The worship music that is kind of beginning to peak right now, it's really, I don't know how much longer the news media can ignore it. And people like Sean Foyt, Elevation Worship, some of the people who are, you know, some of these groups that are coming through. Hillsong has been big for a while, but again, that's more of a, you know, I'll get into that. So we have this worship music writing kind of genre is really in a very rich, I would say rich creative state right now. There's a lot of it being created. Some of it's good, some of it's not so much. But it's a kind of renaissance in and of itself. Most of these songs are not about God as much as they are directed to God. They are more, realistically, they are more prayers set to music than theology set to music or doctrine set to music. This is different. And for those of you who are stuck in this idea that we have to sing hymns, we can't have this modern sounding music with bass drums and guitars and all this stuff happening in the church. That's just not, it's not right. Look at what's happening here, folks, with what's happening with the music, the expression that's going on here. Now you can think about, okay, if you were in the room, if you're let's say you're a parent, now maybe you have kids, maybe you don't. If you're in the room and with a bunch of people that you're with your family, and you're sitting in the room because you just enjoy being with your family, and your family is walking around and everybody's talking about you, saying good things about you, they're all talking about you. In fact, they get together, and they all sit around, and we're just going to talk about this relative we have who's sitting here in the room. We're going to talk about him, and we're going to say all kinds of marvelous things about him. And then they all go home, and nobody has ever talked to you. They didn't talk to you. They talked about you. Didn't say anything bad. But no one ever talked to you. They never addressed you. They didn't ask what you thought about anything or what your word was on anything. They just talked about you. Wonderful things you've done. Wonderful things you've said. How would that make you feel? I'm just curious about that. And yet, you can go into a traditional church today that just sings hymns, that has a fine message about God, about Scripture. The songs are all might all be doctrinally sound, but not a single one of them are directed to God. Well, that doesn't mean I can't worship in my heart. I can worship in my heart on the subway. You get where I'm coming from with this? And I guess it puzzles me sometimes that supposedly these people in these churches who they just have so much fervor for God, they're so set on their doctrine, and we're going to hold true to that, hold fast to what we know is true, and we're going to only have hymns. These devil drums aren't going to play in our church. This has been going on for centuries, folks. It's just that those violins, we can't have violin. What about piano? We can't have piano in our church. These are the people who are concerned folks, we're missing the boat here if that's where we are in the church. But I'm going to digress from that for a moment. Time for another sip, which means I'm going to change gears. Let's see what's going on here. We got I guess that's pretty much the just be aware that the border is about to be overrun, that the trial, some of the trials that right now are that Trump is facing. My understanding is, I'm going to get onto this. The polls that are being taken right now. This is pretty amazing to me, actually. That ABC poll, which has never shown Trump to be in the lead. Any general election lead anywhere has him 7 points over Biden right now. ABC poll. Even during the 2016 election, they always had Hillary ahead. They're showing Trump. Now, I think this is an attempt to wake up the left and say, oh, look, Trump is, he's going to beat Biden if we don't get somebody else in there. Now, here's what the DNC has decided they're going to do. When Biden announced he's going to run, here's what they did. They basically said there will not be any debates on the Democrat before the Democrat primary. And they're not going to entertain they may not, in fact, they're talking about not even having a primary, which is the DNC can do that. This is the Democratic Party. Let's look for a second at the definition of Democratic. And I'm telling you, Democratic or democracy, I guess, Democratic, of characterized by or advocating democracy or for the people in general popular, believing in or practicing social equality. And of course, and right here on Wikipedia, the Democratic Party. It's the Democrat Party. The Democratic Party history. We are the Democratic Party, Democrats. Democratic definition and meaning, Merriam-Webster. So let's look at democracy here for real quick. It's a little different. Democracy. Government by the people, exercised either directly or through elected representatives. A political or social unit that has such a government, the common people, considered as the primary source of political power. Democracy. They're not going to have a primary. They're telling their party. They're telling all of you, on the all of you Democrats out there, who their candidate will be. This is the Democrat Party. And this is why I contend they are the fascists. Now, let's look at fascism again. If you will recall, a political philosophy, movement, or regime such as that of the fascisti, that exalts nation and often race above the individual, and it stands for a centralized autocratic government headed by a dictatorial leader, severe economic and social regimentation, and forcible suppression of opposition. Forcible suppression of opposition. January 6. A tendency toward or actual exercise of strong autocratic or dictatorial control. This is the best definition, and this is Merriam-Webster's, because it's Merriam-Webster tends to not change things very quickly. You look at Wikipedia, right off the bat, Wikipedia says a far right. And I would contend, and I think Dinesh D'Souza actually had a segment where he actually confirmed it. Who are the fascists? And he went through the whole thing and talked about everything that the left is doing, and it parallels directly with fascism, exactly, perfectly with fascism. Just to give you an idea. This is the best definition. It says nothing about the far right here. Very interesting. It comes through some examples of the Soviet Union, Hitler, which was, you know, not the Nazis were the National Socialist German Workers' Party. So it's interesting that this kind of a definition falls out there. You know, this is let's see here, fascism, assisted government, predictor. Yeah, that's the same thing there. Yeah, that's okay. There we go. So I digress. That's where we're at with this stuff, folks. Once again, here it is Tuesday morning. The week is almost over. We're just getting started. Interesting things are afoot, in my opinion, over the next week, the next couple weeks. It'll be interesting to see what happens during the next 36 hours. By the end of the week, I think there's going to be some changes to the political landscape. Interesting things are happening. So continue to pray, folks. Pray that our leaders, church leaders first, judgment begins in the house of God, that our church leaders would rise up and have some guts to speak the truth, to get involved and get others involved, and that we'd pray for each other. Once again, folks, thanks for being with me. God bless. Have a great rest of your day and a great rest of your week. I will be back here tomorrow morning, God willing.